Turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Luke's Gospel and to the chapter number 2. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow together, please, in a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in this meeting tonight, for the singing of Thy praises, for the ministry and song, how we've been reminded of Christ our Redeemer. And Father, our prayer would be tonight that every heart and every soul in this meeting, Lord, by Thy Holy Spirit would be led to Christ. Bless Thy people, we pray. And for any that are gathered with us tonight and know not the Lord as Savior, O God, we pray that even this very night, O God, by Thy grace and power, that they might come to that place of saving faith and saving trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Heavenly Father, just cleanse me, Lord, afresh in the Savior's blood. Fill me, Lord, afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. And give help and enablement and grace, Lord, to preach Thy word. For we ask it all in Jesus' precious and wonderful and all-holy name. Amen and amen. Our text of Scripture for this evening are the words that you find in verse number 34. And verse number 35 of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. Let me read with you those two verses again. It says, "And Simeon blessed them, said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now, Luke chapter 2 has much to say to us about the birth and indeed the early days and childhood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us of how the Lord's angel came and informed the shepherds upon the Judean hills that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. It also tells of the Lord Jesus as a little baby of 8 days being brought to the temple for circumcision and keeping with the Jewish law. Then it also relates to us the prophecy of Simeon and Anna concerning the Lord. And then the latter part of the chapter reveals what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was just a boy of 12 years of age here on earth. Now this evening it is Simeon's prophecy regarding Christ that I want us to consider and to look at. Simeon was a godly man and true religion, but was at a very low ebb in Israel. He was a man who was anointed by God the Holy Spirit. He was a man who was guided by the Holy Spirit, and he was one who was waiting for the coming of the Messiah, the advent of Christ, the incarnation of the Son of God. Look at verse 25 and verse 26. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And by this man Simeon was also a man who was ready to die. He was ready to leave this world. He was ready to meet his Maker, because his faith was in Christ for his salvation." Look at verse 27, now through there to verse number 30. It says, "Of Simeon, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Simeon was a man who was ready now to depart the scene of time. And that is the only way that any man, any woman, any young person can ever be ready to depart the scene of time, is to know the Lord as their Savior and to rejoice in God's so great salvation. My Simeon also was a man who had a God-given revelation of the work
and indeed the very office of Christ. And he was a man who prophesied some very important words regarding the effect of Christ's first coming into this world. And you read of that prophecy in particular regarding Christ in verses 34 and verses 35, our text for this evening. Here you have Simeon speaking to Mary, the earthly mother of our Lord. And he says, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And here he tells Mary about the outcome of Christ's first advent. He tells her what the coming of Christ would mean to her, Mary, who bore Christ. Not only what the coming of Christ would mean to her, but what the coming of Christ would mean to this world in which we live. And why does this prophecy from Simeon regarding Christ's advent that I want us to look at and to consider this evening in our gospel service? Notice first of all here from this verse that the coming of Christ to this world would mean that he would be a sign that was spoken against. Look at the words of Simeon there in verse 34. He says, "Behold, this child," speaking there about the Christ child, "this child is set," he says, "for a sign which shall be spoken against." And there Simeon was telling Mary that Christ would be the target of the fiery darts of Satan, the evil one. He was telling Mary there how the Lord Jesus would be one who would be despised of man. He would be rejected of man. He would be ridiculed by man. Indeed, men before who were agreed in nothing else would now be agreed in their hatred and in their animosity to Christ. And as you read through the gospel accounts of the earthly life of Christ, you'll see that this was indeed the case. Christ's earthly life was one of constant repudiation by men. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. This morning we saw how Herod tried to kill the Lord Jesus when he was just a little baby, a few days old. Think also of how Satan tempted Christ in the wilderness to take his own life. Then John chapter 8 tells about the Pharisees taking up their stones to cast at Christ, all because of the fact that he was the Son of God. Then think about his betrayal by Judas Iscariot for just 30 pieces of silver. Think about his mockery and his trial before ungodly men and by ungodly men. Think also about his cruel and his shameful death by crucifixion, by the hands of wicked men upon the cross of Calvary. And it all shows you man's rejection, man's repudiation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Turn in your Bible, please, over to Philippians chapter number 2. And the verses 7 and 8. And there Paul speaks about that rejection and the humiliation of Christ while he was here on earth. He says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 of Christ, "But he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." What humiliation Christ bore on the cross and throughout his earthly life here upon the scene of time. If you look again there at our text this evening in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and the verse number 35, you'll see there how Simeon has a word in particular to Mary about this. For he says in the midst of verse number 25, he says, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." And there Simeon was referring to Mary's own agony, to the awful pain and anguish in her own heart and her own soul. When she would see the son that she had borne, the son that she had raised, crucified upon the cross of Calvary. And it would be like a sword piercing into her heart. A sword of pain piercing into her soul. For remember that Mary was at the cross, watching the awful spectacle of agony and of woe of Christ being crucified there on Mount Calvary. Yes, it must indeed be a terrible thing for any mother to watch and to see their child die. But how much more terrible it must have been for Mary to see that the sinless, that the spotless, that the flawless Son of God died an accursed death, a death of awful shame and agony upon the cross of Calvary. Then at the end of verse number 35, Simeon speaks further about this. He says that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there we see how the first coming of Christ, what was it to do? It was to reveal the awful opposition, the awful animosity, the awful antagonism that there is in the natural heart of sinful man to Christ, to the gospel, and to the things of God. And when Simeon spoke those words and says that the thoughts of many hearts be revealed, he was saying how the coming of Christ would show the true nature, the true character of sinful man in their repudiation and in their rejection of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, dear people, it is still the same today for all who would reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Yes, by their action, they're siding with the devil. They're siding with the devil's crowd. They are speaking against Christ, the Son of God. For did not the Lord Jesus Christ say in the Gospel of Matthew, "He that is not with me is against me"? That's what Christ says about all who know him not as Savior. He says, "He that is not with me is against me. My such are lovers of sin, and more than lovers of God. Lovers of Christ." Am I speaking to one tonight in the meeting and you're unsaved? Dear friend, please understand that this is your position tonight before God. If you are not with Christ in salvation in this meeting, then you're against him. For Christ says, "He that is not with me is against me." You're siding with the devil and you're siding with the devil's crowd. No matter who you are, if you're not saved, you're against Christ. You're in the devil's company. You're in the devil's crowd. Remember the words of Christ in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Oh, friend, tonight, whose side are you on? Are you on the side of Christ? Or are you on the side of those who are against Christ, who are against the gospel of Christ? Yes, the coming of Christ to this world would mean, yes, that Christ would be a sign that was spoken against. But notice, secondly, tonight from this prophecy, not only was Christ a sign spoken against, but the coming of Christ would also mean the fall of many. Look at what Simeon says also there in verse number 34. He says, "Behold, this child is set," he says, "for the fall of many." There Simeon was telling Mary that Christ would be a stone of stumbling, that he would be a rock of offense to many proud and self-righteous Jews. And in their rejection of Christ as Savior, such would perish in their sins, perish in their iniquities, and in their transgressions before God. Isaiah the prophet spoke of this very fact in Isaiah chapter 8 and the verse 14. He speaks of Christ and says, "He shall be for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel." And that stumbling or that falling because of the Lord, it speaks of all those who willfully reject Jesus Christ as Savior and turn their back upon him. And the end of all this is that they will die in their sins. They will perish in their sins. Remember the words of Christ to those who rejected him when he was here on earth. In the Gospel of John, he says, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And by the outcome for all who die in their sins is eternal punishment and judgment and hell in the lake of fire, separated from God and from Christ and from his people for all of the countless ages of eternity to come. Why, Christ himself warned the people of this very fact in his day. For he said to them, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Think of the parable, the account that he gives about the rich man. And there it is, a warning to all who reject Christ as Savior, who die in their sins. For he says, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And that's a warning to all who turn their back upon Christ, who reject him as their own and personal Savior. Their soul will be lost in hell forever. Turn in your Bible over, please, to John's Gospel, chapter number 3. And to the very final verse of that chapter, to the verse number 36. And here you have Christ in this chapter in conversation with Nicodemus. Here he warns again of the awful outcome of those that would reject him as Savior and die in their sins. He says in the latter part there of John chapter 3 in the verse number 36, he says, he that believeth not the Son, notice the words, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. When he talks there about the wrath of God, he's talking there about eternal judgment, eternal punishment for sin in a lost sinner's hell. What an awful end there is for those who reject Christ as Savior, who die in their sin. Now, speaking of that awful end, the hymn writer says, out of Christ without a Savior, lonely and dark the way, with no light, no hope in Jesus, making bright the cheerless day. There's no hope, there's no cheer, there's no light for those who die in their sin, go out into a lost eternity, who die rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Oh, dear friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this. This will be your end if you too reject Christ as your Savior and you die in your sin. You'll leave this world in your sin. You see, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And my, your soul will be forever lost in hell forever and ever. And my, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, your body will rise from the grave and be reunited with your soul in hell. And on that occasion of judgment, Christ, the very beam of Bethlehem, will now be your judge. You'll stand before him as your judge. And from his lips you'll hear that awful sentence. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Let me say also tonight that your judgment in hell will be much more terrible for having often heard the gospel, yet having also often turned your back upon the Lord Jesus Christ and rejected him as Savior. For the Lord says in the Gospel of Matthew, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And there he warns of the awful consequences for those who often hear the gospel, who often hear of their need of Christ as salvation, yet they turn their back upon the Lord. They dismiss Christ. They reject him and they die in their sins. My, an awful end awaits all who turn their back upon the Lord, who reject him and die in their sins. Might be said of Gandhi, that famous Indian leader of a bygone day that whenever he was dying, he said to those who were gathered around his deathbed, he says, all about me is darkness. You see, he was going out into a lost eternity without hope, without Christ, and without God. Dear friend, unsaved, yes, the blackness, the darkness of hell will be your eternal portion. If you too reject Christ as your Savior, and you die in your sin, without hope, without God, and without Christ. Yes, our text here says that Christ is sent for the fall of many. Yes, he is a sign spoken against many reject him. But he is also sent for the fall of many. My, the end of those who reject him is that fall down into the bottomless pit of hell itself. There is no hope of escape from the wrath and the judgment of God Almighty. But notice finally tonight in this prophecy of Simeon, not only was Christ a sign spoken against, not only was he for the fall of many, but notice in the final place here in Luke chapter 2 verses 34 and 35 that the coming of Christ into this world would mean the rising again of many in Israel. Look at what Simeon also says here about Christ. He says, behold, this child is set, he says, for the rising again of many in Israel. And there Simeon was telling Mary that Christ would be a Savior to many. That not all would reject him. That not all would turn their back upon him. In other words, there would be those who would repent of their sins. There would be those who would trust him as their Savior. And when he says here that Christ shall be for the rising of many, he was saying of such that they would rise to newness of life in Christ here on earth. And that one day they would rise to eternal life and glory in heaven itself. You see, for some, Christ would be a savor of life unto life. Yes, for some, he is a savor of death unto death. But for some, Christ also would be a savor of life unto life. And Christ himself spoke of that very fact in the Gospel of John when he said, I am come that ye might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Think of the words that he uttered as he stood at the graveside of his friend Lazarus. When he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And by repenting of their sin and trusting in his sacrifice upon the cross for salvation, praise God, many hopeless, many hell-deserving sinners would receive abundant life in Christ. They would receive eternal life in Christ the Savior. Now the hymn writer testified of that very fact in their own life, speaking of Christ as their Savior. They penned these words. They said, then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Christ my Savior lifted me, and now safe am I. There they were testifying. There they were telling. There they were confessing Christ, the one who lifted them out of the mire and the hopelessness of their sin, and give them a hope for time and for all of eternity. If you turn your Bible back to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and to the verse number 8, you'll see Hannah, that godly woman of old, had this great hope. And she testifies about it in her own life. She knew what it was to be risen up in Christ, to be lifted up in Christ from her sin. She says in 1 Samuel chapter 2 in the verse number 8, of the Lord. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill and to set them among princes and to make them inherit, notice it, the throne of glory. And there she's speaking about heaven. She speaks about the beggar and the sin been lifted up by Christ. You think of those lovely words of David in Psalm 40, a psalm that I'm sure we often all love to read and to sing. In the opening verses of that psalm, what does he say? He says, how the Lord has lifted me up out of the miry clay and out of the pit. Remember again the words of Paul the Apostle as he writes to the people of Ephesus who were now saved. And he says of God and of Christ, he says, who has raised us up, he says, unto heavenly places in Christ. You see, dear people, when the Lord saves a soul, he lifts that soul up. There's a lifting up. That's what Christ has come to do. He's come to lift up poor and needy fallen man, poor and needy fallen sinners, to lift them out of the muck and the mire of their sin, out of the dunghill of sin, lift them up from a lost eternity in hell and give them abundant life, newness of life in Christ, an eternal life, eternal hope in heaven. That, dear friends, is what the Lord Jesus Christ has come to do. We rejoice today in the incarnation of Christ and the coming of Christ. But what did he come to do? Yes, he is our pattern, he is our example, but he came to do something much more important than that. He came to pay the debt of our sins, to be our Redeemer by dying upon the cross and shedding his blood. What for? That sinners like you and I could be lifted up from the awful ruin of our sin, the awful plight of our sin, and be saved from a lost eternity in a lost sinner's hell. Notice here in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 how Anna, the prophetess, she rejoiced in this. Look there at verse number 38 of Luke chapter 2. It says of Anna, and she coming in that instant give thanks likewise unto the Lord and speak of him to all that looked, notice it, for redemption in Jerusalem. She was rejoicing that her Redeemer had come, that one had come to pay the price of her sin and full upon the cross. One who would lift her up to newness of life and give her eternal life and heaven's glory. What does it say of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? It says, for Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That's what Christ does. He brings us near to God, into the presence of God, into the courts of God, into the everlasting home and glory of God in heaven itself. Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this, it matters not who you are in this gospel service. If you repent of your sins before God, and you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him for salvation, I tell you this, the Lord will lift you up. He will pardon all your sins, and by his grace he'll raise you up to newness of life. And one day he will receive you into heaven's high court for good, into that place of life eternal, of life everlasting. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My, this is the great gift, that unspeakable gift, that greatest of all gifts, the gift of God's so great salvation. Tell me, dear friend, in this gospel meeting tonight, are you rejoicing in this gift? Have you accepted Christ by faith to be your Savior? Is it well with your soul tonight? Are your sins forgiven? Is your soul safe in Christ? Are you sure of heaven? Are your sins washed away, put away by the blood of Christ? There was once an archaeologist of a bygone day, and he set out to disprove the Bible. That was his intention. That was his aim, to disprove the Word of God. You know, the more he read the Word of God, the more he studied the Word of God, he found that God's Word is true. That God's word could not be denied, it could not be disputed. And as he read it and as he studied it and all the evidence for himself, he became convinced of his personal need as a lost sinner before God. He became convinced of Christ to be his Savior. with that realization, he came as a sinner to Christ. He put his faith and trust in Christ for his redemption. And he went on to be a bright and a shining witness for the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the rest of his earthly days. And dear friend, at our meeting tonight, if you're still not saved, young or old, I would urge you in this gospel meeting to follow his example. To confess your sins to Christ and to put your trust in him. And then, dear friend, and only then, dear friend, would you be ready to depart the scene of time and to meet God your Maker. You notice there what Simeon says in verses 28 and verses 29 and 30 of this chapter as he speaks of Christ. It says, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." Notice the words, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Simeon was ready to die. He was ready to leave this world. He was now an old man. But you see, he had made his peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He could say, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Friend, unsaved in this meeting tonight, young or old, let me say this. This salvation is for you. Look at the very next words that you read there in verse number 31 of Luke chapter 2. It says, "Of the Lord and his salvation, which thou hast prepared," notice it, "before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of thy people Israel." God's salvation was for the Jew, praise God. But it's for the Gentile. It's for all people. It's for every sinner who will come to Christ. Friend, that's our prayer for you tonight, unsaved, that you will close in with Christ. Yes, he was a sign spoken against. He came, yes, to be the fall of many. But praise God, Christ is also for the lifting up of many. Would you be among that many? Would you be among those people in heaven's glory? Oh, I pray that you will. Coming and trusting him as your own and personal Savior. May God bless his word to all our hearts.